Me too.
Okay, there we go.
Yay!
Sounds good. Should we clap again?
Make the records. Okay. You want to count or you want me to count?
One, two, three. How'd that sound for you?
It was pretty close. I'm wondering if maybe that was honestly just because, like, I was slow.
Sounded awful for me. It sounded really? Like you were about 4 seconds too late.
Four?
Yeah. Maybe even 10.
You're lying. You're joshing me.
I'm joshing you.
You're good. Joshing me.
Hey, man, it's Monday night.
It's not just Monday night, bro.
It's trash Monday. Night.
It is trash. Well, today is trash day.
I gotta bring trash out later. Are they going to pick that up on post-Memorial Day? Or was it?
Today was trash day for us, so they did already.
Yeah, I gotta bring mine out. I gotta, like, sadly stagger out at about 10:30 at night wearing nothing but, like, underwear and just dump it in the corner of our court.
Right after this. You should record it and put it on our YouTube channel.
I won't, because I haven't even recorded a dramatic reading of the Doom books yet, so I need to actually get on that. And I will, I promise. I absolutely will keep to my promise.
Hey, man, I am not stressed about it. I am not pushing you on it. You do what you need to do.
Nobody wants to hear it.
No, they don't. I need to find a way to make these children stop stomping. Can you hear them?
No, I can't.
Thump, 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 thump.
You know what's a good way to do that?
With a fist.
Chloroform.
Yours, I don't know which is worse, because yours is very sneaky. Mine's violent.
Mine's kind.
All of these are jokes.
It's kind.
It's jokes. They're just jokes. Funny
They're
jokes.
Just ha-has. Just ha-has at the expense of others.
Hey, man. We're going to have a theme song now.
Hey, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club.
And hey,
we're on to a new book.
We are, yay! We're reading Star Wars Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Oh, look, mine's got it's using the Force.
How is that happening? Well, I'll hold mine up so that way they can see what's there.
Because it's so yellow. Bright. Oh, no!
Stop it.
Use the Force on me. What's
Stop
happening?
It.
Whew. Everything's yeah, freaking out
It just
now.
Says Legends because none of this is real anymore.
Nope, it's not.
Because what Disney decided to do, or Lucas, or all of the great conglomerates that are Star Wars, they just decided, you know what, these 40 years of creativity that people have put into this world and all of the hypocrisy of and contradictions, hypocrisy doesn't exist, contradictions within the general stories, we're just going to erase all of that and say, you know what? The only things that are canon anymore are cartoons, movies, and the things that we say are canon.
Just
which is
what
very
we
convenient.
Say. Exactly what we say.
I don't even know if some of the video games are like Force, Force Unleashed. I know Force Unleashed.
The only
is
one
not.
That's canon right now that I know of, well, maybe the Battlefront games.
Yeah.
And
yes, the Battlefront games
Jedi
are canon.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Which is the one you've been playing, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Is it worth playing?
Yes. Let me... We'll... It's a good game. It's got a good plot. It's fun, but I'm playing it on PS4, and it's full of slowdowns and load times. But I don't know. My PS4 is so old, I've heard that some of it's the game. There's a bit of lagginess in the game specifically relating to like cutscenes and load times, but I have a little bit of like sometimes just stutter issues with it in general, but that may be my PS4.
Oh, it's because it's getting pretty old now at this point, right? You've had it probably for like 5 or 6 years.
It is, and I refurbed it once already.
I think that, I mean, the generations now, I mean, we're shifting into the PS4 and Xbox One generation as being fairly long in the tooth. Compared to other generations. Like, as a gamer, I find it really interesting to look back at the different times between generations, right? Like, we look at the NES and SNES, and really, the NES was quite a while. The SNES was not nearly as long as something like this generation is right now, right? And, like, we've been looking at, like, 7 years. I think 2014 was when the Xbox One came out, because I remember getting like the original day one Xbox One, and I regretted it immediately. So, yeah,
we blew it.
Yeah, I blew it.
Bought the consoles.
Yep.
So, what did you do this week, man?
I read this book.
Anything else cool other than reading this book?
I updated my computer. I ended up going through and like adding a new graphics card in, and because I'm thinking about the possibility of streaming some stuff in the future.
Cool.
But
if I do, it'll be on the PS4,
which you can do without a problem. And I was playing last night, so I'm not good at games. That's the thing that comes down to it. Like, a lot of people want to watch people who stream that are good at games.
Yes.
But I'm not good at games.
You should stream you playing original Doom.
I was thinking about it.
I'd watch
but
that.
But I want to be bad.
I know.
I want to be bad.
You do want to be bad?
I want to be bad. I want to be real bad. So
be a
speaking
bad,
of
bad man.
So last night I was playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare because I've been on the computer. I've been finding it really enjoyable to do. So not the Battle Royale, just the regular multiplayer.
Okay.
And it's nice to pop in for like 20, 30 minutes, play a few games, and then be done and not have to have any kind of like emotional connection to what's happening. And there's this map that everyone hates. Everyone hates in Modern Warfare. And if you're listening to this and you play it, you know exactly what map I'm talking about. It's this map called Piccadilly. And it is Piccadilly Circus in London.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a shittily made map. It's so imbalanced. It's so crappy. The cover sucks. There's too many colors everywhere. It just isn't fun to play. You're clipping on everything. Whoever made it deserves to burn in hell. So I fittingly decided what was I going to use as my Activision token, like my name, for the next 6 months. And I decided I would be as authentic as possible and pick I Leave Piccadilly. So it means whenever I get no Piccadilly map, I just leave it. Or I play it. But if I play it, I have a new game that I play where I pick a gun that has – it's a single shot. But – so I can hit it semi-automatic. It's a semi-automatic rifle. And it's very fast. So when I shoot, I can shoot shave and haircut 2 bits. So I run around the map and I go, bop, 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 bop. And last night, I was just doing it randomly because what I find humorous is that you can hear the sound of the game is so good, you can hear gunshots across the map. So I'll see somebody kill me and I'll see in the kill cam them running and they'll hear, bop, 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 or in the background, far off, right? And that's killing me. I'm dying. So last night, I realized that as I'm playing, I'm doing this, and I'm just running around shooting. And every time I see a person, I'm aiming down the sights, and I'm demanding – it's an amazing amount of self-control, I have to admit, to only try to kill somebody using shave and haircut 2 bits. Like you just want to unload and win, right? And get your kill-death ratio
we
like
all
up there.
We want to unload and win.
We do. And I killed several people doing the shave and haircut 2 bits. So if they died at like haircut, I still had to shoot 2 bits. Or if they died at shave, I still had to do and a haircut 2 bits. But what's even worse is when I made it my rule to reload after shave and haircut 2 bits, I'm sitting there trying to get them and I shoot shave and a haircut 2 bits and then I'm reloading the gun and then I go at them again. So halfway through the match, everybody else hates Piccadilly too in the world because it's just what happens. I realize that somebody else is doing it too. Somebody comes up to me and they try to shoot me with shave and haircut 2 bits. So I find this guy and I just go after him with just shave and haircut 2 bits. Then we notice like 3 other people are also doing it too. And I'm running around the map and I'm like trying to find people and I hear pop, 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 pop. So I'm dying. I'm laughing really hard. It's like 3 a.m. And finally I find the spot where I'm going to stay up there and I mount my gun because you can mount your gun on like windowsills. And I mount my gun on the windowsills and I'm trying to find this guy. And I find somebody else, and I shoot out the window, shave and a haircut, 2, and then I immediately die, and I get killed from behind by an execution move. So in Modern Warfare, you can go up to somebody and press the melee button. It does a special execution. So he provided the bits part of my shave and haircut, 2 bits, with 1 shot to the back of my skull, and he watched me. In his kill cam, he watched me finish shave and a haircut 2 bits and then shot me with that execute. So he like he stayed on the rhythm. And I was laughing so hard. And then after I was done, I know that I had really changed someone's life because I received a friend request from Ham Sandwich One. I immediately accepted it and then left. I'm probably going to block him because I have social anxiety online also. I don't want to play with you. I just played Shaving Haircut Two Bits.
Right. It's your own game. It's your own personal game.
It's for my satisfaction because everybody hates Piccadilly. I leave Piccadilly, Shaving Haircut Two Bits.
So maybe you should change your name to Shaving a Haircut.
I was actually really thinking about it, but I felt like that was too on the nose. Like it was too. If you see someone named Shaving a Haircut, running around a map shooting Shaving a Haircut, I don't know. It feels on the nose, right?
It feels like it's on brand, though.
Does it?
What
if I then go to a map and I don't shoot Shaving a Haircut?
But then you'll have everybody else, maybe, if you become famous for being Shaving a Haircut.
I won't.
Then you could try. I mean, people get famous on, like, TikTok for doing
not Shaving a Haircut
things. And
that was my that was what I did this week, man. That was about it. I updated my computer and did that. And it was really nice to actually, like, play a computer that's fairly high-end right now. And to be able to, like, I'm looking forward to playing Doom Eternal again. They removed the Denuvo anti-cheat. So there was, I don't know if you read about the controversy on that.
I don't know what the controversy was. I saw it and I ignored it because since I'm playing Jedi Fallen Order, I'm not doing anything with Doom right now.
Yeah.
I'm doomed out.
As you
I've skipped out of trying to win any of the skins or anything like that on Doom Eternal because I'm just
Doom.
Tired of it. And,
yeah.
And the sad part is Doom Eternal is a good game.
It's a really good game. It's not as amazing as Doom 2016.
No, it's
just
not.
A good game. Like, it's fun.
It's a good
to
game.
Play.
And
yeah.
I respect what they tried to do with Doom, like, Eternal. And when they put out the expanded, the DLC, maybe I'll get the DLC. I used to be such a video game nerd, and now I live in this world where your game's got to be really good for me to want to pitch the extra money into your DLC.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, I've already spent $60 on your game. If I bought it new, I don't want to spend another $50 on some maps that are going to last me like an extra 2 days.
The skins and cosmetics, right? Yeah, if you're giving me story DLC, I played Doom Eternal for, let's say, 13 hours, if that, right? Like, I actually tore the hell through that game. It took a while, but I tore through it. Like, I think the week after it was out, I had finished it. So, like, give me like 4 or 5 hours of content. That's what I need. You know, or maybe even, you know what, I would take a horde mode or something like that. Like, let me kill enemies over and over. Let me kill enemies with my friends.
Unless they come back on what they've said previously, we're not going to get a deathmatch mode in this game. We're not going to get
battle mode. Yeah.
It's some people love it, and that's great if you do. Awesome. It's not for me. I don't want to be the demons. I want John kill the demons.
It's problematically asymmetrical.
Yeah. It was the point, but sometimes it's Doom. It's the game that created the deathmatch. Like, let me have a deathmatch.
So let me be, if you want to, let me be a marauder, but actually play like the Doom Slayer.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that way it feels like if you want to keep that aesthetic of here's the Doom Slayer and then here's an enemy he's fighting along with other enemies, then let one character be the Marauder and like eight people be Marauders. I mean, one character be the Doom Slayer and like eight people be Marauders and maybe give him one special ability
in comparison. And as we talked about with personally, when we talked about Doom Eternal and the control of the game, that it reminded us a lot of the multiplayer in the game Darkwatch, which
great game
we loved, and we loved playing multiplayer. It was one of those games that we soaked so many hours into the multiplayer, and it was super underappreciated. But now, I would settle for multiplayer that's like that,
mm-hmm.
where you maybe power down your character a lot because they don't have to be the Doomslayer. They can just be like a Space Marine guy, and let me have a little more, you know.
Dude, you're in a world, right? That
I am in a world.
You're in a world.
Thanks, man. Plot wise, I'm in a world.
You are. You live in a world. You're in a world plot wise where you could easily pit Space Marines against one another in the plot.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Because who's to say
exactly?
Right.
You get Hell Marines and Space Marines.
No spoilers, but there's definitely precedent in the plot for there to be Space Marines fighting in a gladiator arena.
Yes. Yeah. There was so much in that game that they had that they could have just gone
that into the multiplayer, right?
And that's fine. You know what? Let's not talk about Doom anymore. Let's talk about
Sphincter of the Mind's Eye. Star Wars, Sphincter of the Mind's Eye.
Star Wars. Da, da,
da. Wars Star among the stars.
When hey, man.
Wars in the stars.
What do we want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about Alan Dean Foster?
Sure. I didn't do much research on Alan Dean Foster because I did a little bit
of research. I did a little bit.
Is he a problematic person? Do you like my mug, by the way?
Actually, I do love him. It's R2-D2. I can't find anything problematic about him. I will do some more research for next week's episode. Everything that I've found about him is surprisingly like, hey, Alan Dean Foster's a... I don't know about like whether or not he's a nice guy, but he's, as an author, he's prolific. I'm not saying that about you. Like he's
very
no,
prolific.
He's no joke, like Daffodab Hugh. He's...
This guy dumps out books like diarrhea.
If you have a series, next week we're going to play a game. I'm creating a Kahoot for you based on Alan Dean Foster. And it's just going to be a quiz. I'm going to give you a quiz about different series that he's written for. Because some stuff, I don't want to spoil it right now, but he's written on ridiculous amounts of series. He was credited with the story for the first Star Trek motion picture.
Yes, I read that. That's about one of the few things. That and Alien Nation were like the two things that jumped out to me.
He's award-winning, literal award-winning, not just like a joke. I don't know what they are off the top of my head because I'm not that much of a researcher. But he's, according to Wikipedia, because, you know, that's a large amount of the research that we do, he not only did he write the Star Trek movie and I believe novelization, he wrote the novelization from the Abrams remake and the novelization for the sequel for the Abrams remake.
How old is this guy?
He's in his 70s.
That's actually younger than I expected.
He also wrote Star Trek logs 1 through 10, which I had several of them when I was younger, and I remember getting them at a flea market. They are the versions of their stories, their novels based off the Star Trek animated series.
Oh, like the original animated series?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that thing was garbage.
It was. It was really garbage. But I remember the novelizations being really good. The characters were slightly different.
That was in that weird era of like animation where a character would turn and look over their shoulder, but the only thing that would move would be their face. Mm-hmm. Like the shoulder and everything else was like a locked cell, and like the head would move, and they would just.
But the face would just stick right there.
Yeah, they'd look odd, and there'd be really odd angles, right? Like, very space ghosty. Very odd angles where, like, you'd see a character talk, and their chin would go up like that, and they'd, I don't know.
Yeah, it's in that, like, realm of time where Hanna-Barbera was king.
Yeah.
He's also a literal explorer. This dude he's, like, a deep wilderness camper in, like, the jungles of... I think Namibia was one of them. Is that, am I saying that right?
Sure.
And
look, if Daffodab Hugh can misspell Kafiristan in the first line of a book, then you can mispronounce the name of a place.
True. He's also very smart. I can't find anything on his political affiliation anywhere, but he's also a major. He's a bachelor, has a bachelor's in political science.
Ooh,
and a master's right in fine arts for, I think, movie writing.
A political science degree right now is telling me if he's not libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at all of the different Clues.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I just let you sit there with that one.
Political science major. But he's not politically scientific enough to go use his political science. He just writes books.
He actually, one of his series that he's known for is based on, like, space politics.
Space politics, right there.
It's it's like a political
another.
It's like West Wing in space, kind of.
I'm starting to feel like he may be like a closet libertarian, right?
We'll find out.
I mean, he explores the wilderness. He knows political science. Alan, I love you so much. I'm gonna need you to step out of the closet and come to admit that you too are libertarian.
Is
Alan
Dean
Foster libertarian?
Libertarian.
Don't tell me what
and
you got.
I
yet.
Need you to look at what it, how it's spelled. Alan Dean Foster
libertarian.
But read his name.
Is Alan Dean Fosterba? Is Alan Dean Fosterba?
Is he? Let's see. Let's find out though. Cool.
Hey
thanks.
Siri. Is Alan Dean Foster a libertarian?
Can't find anything. Also,
it didn't talk to me really quick.
So, anyway, that's fine. So, I don't know whether he is or not. He's clearly an interesting character who's been around for quite a while. And that leads into the book itself that we're reading. Splinter in the Mind's Eye has a strange backstory in itself. In the fact that Alan Dean Foster wrote the novelization of the original Star Wars, which we now know as A New Hope, before the movie was even done. He was contracted to write it. So there's things in the book, and
that
maybe
are not
we'll
in
go
the
back
movie.
To it one
yes.
day. Yeah, because things that are specifically different, like one that I remember right off the top of my head is that Obi-Wan and Owen are brothers. In his novelization, like Obi-Wan is from
Tatooine. All of a sudden, my brain
Tatooine.
Is trying to like connect dots, which means that old Ben Kenobi is a brother to Uncle Owen.
Mm-hmm. In the original novelization, I don't remember. He may be Luke's father, for all I know.
Who,
Obi-Wan? We'll have to go back. Yeah,
wow.
I'll need to actually go back and reread it. But all of the conventions, I know it's strange, and we're going to get into some strange stuff. In this book, but the thing conventions that he uses in this book, talking about the droids being their names being spelled
yes.
phonetically,
yes,
that is something that he started, and the apostrophe at the beginning of droid,
yeah,
that was all stuff that he did in the first book, and then he was contracted to write Splinter of the Mind's Eye as a cheap sequel to Star Wars in case Star Wars bombed,
never so went could, anywhere, right?
It never, yeah, they went, oh, this worked, we're gonna do Empire Strikes Back, but we've already got this book on the shelves, so now it just isn't real. It's not canon.
It was like the first time that they decided they were going to completely eject something from the canon of the series,
yeah.
right? It was just,
yes.
There are, I think, no exaggeration, hundreds of Star Wars books that have been ejected from canon at this point.
Yeah, yeah, like Legends is huge.
Yeah, so this is...
And they just keep writing stuff.
So you're saying this is the first piece of external to movie Star Wars canon that it then is no longer canon. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So when you say Legends, so for the people who maybe are not in the know, when people talk about Legends, they're talking about Star Wars media that is no longer part of the whole collective story.
Correct. It's okay. stuff that was written before Disney took over Star Wars as a property, and they then said, this is not canon. None of these books are canon. They don't even have any bearing on anything, but also we're going to call them legends because we may go back and cherry pick, like Thrawn, who was a total non-canon character and was in this Timothy Zahn Thrawn series,
yeah,
became canon, and they included him in the Star Wars Rebels television
and
series.
And I actually think Thrawn the book may also be considered canon at this point.
There's even newer ones. They
yeah.
continued to write them now, and it's still Timothy Zahn, I believe, writing them. I'm not
yeah.
sure.
Everybody gets their butt tingly for Thrawn, and I don't know why. I have not read them yet.
He's okay. He's a good character as far as he's this master tactician. He's like what Grand Moff Tarkin should have been if he had been fleshed out and was about 20 years younger and an alien.
Yeah. What is he?
I don't know what his
alien race is. I played one of him in Star Wars The Old Republic. I played one of him. Blue people, red eyes.
Yes. Yes.
I played one of him.
I can't tell you. I'm going to get laughed at because I have never finished Star Wars. What's the famous BioWare game?
Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah.
I've never finished Knights of the Old Republic.
I never did either. Don't worry, it's a big twist.
I kept trying and got bored.
Big twist at the end, you can find out. You're fine. Cool. You find out the way that I found out the BioShock twist.
By looking it up?
Just read it, yeah. I've never actually finished BioShock. Don't judge me.
Which BioShock? The first one?
First one. I finished Infinite without a problem. Like, I loved Infinite.
I played the original BioShock like six times.
Every time I get to Fontaine Fisheries, I just dump out. I'm like, I'm bored.
This war's just getting good, man.
I know, but I get bored. So I'm tired of being someone's errand boy.
Well, that's every game. We're always an errand boy.
Okay.
You want to get into this?
Yeah. Can I read the can I read the little blurb on the back of this? So sure. Splinter the Mind's Eye.
You're not going to let that go, man, are you?
I'm not, because the first time I saw it, it's also a terrible title. ADF, terrible title. Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
We got ADF over here.
Splinter, yeah, he's like Alf on the ADF. He doesn't eat cats.
He kills me.
Stranded on a jungle planet, Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia found themselves desperately racing Imperial stormtroopers to claim a gem that had mysterious powers over the capital F Force. Luke Skywalker expected trouble when he volunteered to follow Princess Leia on her mission to Sircarpus.
I don't even bother in my head pronouncing Sircarpus. Any of these words.
Sircarpus. Sircarpous. On her mission to Sircarpus to enlist their rebel underground in the battle against the Empire. But the farm boy from Tatooine hadn't counted on an unscheduled landing of the swamplands of Mimban, hadn't counted of any of the things they would find on that strange planet. Hidden on this planet was the Kyber Crystal, a mysterious gem that would give the one who possessed it such powers over the Force that he would be all but invincible.
Not canon.
In the wrong hands, the crystal could be deadly. So Luke had to find his treasure and find it fast. Accompanied by R2-D2 and C-3PO, two faithful droids, Luke and the princess set out for the Temple of Pomo-Jema and a confrontation deep beneath the surface of an alien world with the most fearsome villain in the galaxy.
I wonder if we know who that's going to be. Since it's a sequel to Star Wars, we probably know who it's going to be.
It's right on the cover.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So unless it's Captain Supervisor Grammel or whatever the hell his name is.
Dude, that guy.
The evilest guy in the land. If you want to kill yourself or other people on your own time, go for it. Me,
not on the Empire's time, bro.
Not on the Empire's time, but otherwise, I'm cool with it.
Man, so should we real quick flash through a synopsis of what we've read?
Yeah, we can. I want to give you a quick warning, though. I probably would only get a 94 out of 100 this week because I only actually got to page 94. I don't want to lie to you.
I stopped at page 98.
Okay, because that's where the next chapter ended. I was going to get there, and I thought to myself this morning, I was like, yeah, I totally got to the end. And then I was like, no, I didn't. So before we got on Zoom, I was trying to cram like the last few pages, and I didn't get
there. But it's cool, man.
I know at this point what has gone on, so I think we can figure out from there.
Yeah, so the book starts out, we get Luke and Leia on a diplomatic mission to
Sircarpus,
and she starts to have ship
trouble.
They're flying.
He's in a what?
He's in an X-Wing.
He's in an X-Wing. What's she in?
She in a Y-Wing.
He says it's a Y-Wing. It's a sleek Y-Wing. Were Y-Wings even a thing at this point in canon?
Yeah.
Like, were they in the first movie?
Yep.
I don't remember.
They are.
Because a Y-wing is not sleek.
X-wings, Y-wings, and B-wings.
A-wings as well.
A-wings. Maybe. Yes. I don't think A-wings were in the first movie.
Maybe they weren't. But like an A-wing is sleek.
Yeah, but isn't... Yes, an A-wing...
B-wing is a big thing that's like this, right?
That's the B-wing.
Yeah, like that.
Yes.
That's a B-wing.
B-wing looks like a T, so I don't know why they didn't call them T-wings.
Oh, wait, okay. So we've got A-wing.
A-Wing looks like a regular ship. A-Wing looks like, I think, the speeders.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. A-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
X-Wing.
Yes.
Y-wing?
Yes.
B-wing?
Correct.
Right? So I've got So if anybody wants to know that I've got A, I'm doing a little diamond with my hands. X-wing, I'm crossing my arms. Y-wing, I'm doing like a YMCA, but my hands are sort of flopped out at the top of my elbows and you're close to my chest. And then B-wing, I just cross my arms in a weird way each time. B-wing.
Give me B-wing. If you're really into the Star Wars craft, not like Minecraft or creating stuff. Star Wars crafts, the spacecraft. There is a whole episode on Star Wars Rebels about how they created the creation of the B-wing.
Oh, that's a thing we all need. When we're all desperate to know like how the X-wing moves and how the A-wing moves, right? Like I know the X-wing has light speed capability. Doesn't it? I think the X-wing has light speed capability.
Yeah, Luke uses it to go all over the galaxy. Remember he goes to Dagobah? He goes several times to Dagobah?
Not yet.
No, not yet. No, he's going to Caracas.
In this book, none of that takes place yet. Which, as I'm reading this book, one of the things that's so funny to me is I have all of the knowledge moving forward as to what actually happens in the canon, and it makes what happens in this book so far both hilarious and a little weird.
Yeah. I think all of those ships are light speed capable because they all make the jump to the Death Star.
Yeah, they do. B-wing.
The B-wing.
Okay, so continue what you were saying. I'm gonna give you some noise while we're doing it. I'm gonna
cool. Luke and Leia are on route to. What is the name of the planet?
Sir Carperus.
Yep. And he's in his X-wing. She's in her Y-wing. He's got R2's co-pilot. His astromech droid. She's got C-3PO as his. Her co-pilot he's in the bomber seat, I guess.
Yeah.
Of the Y-wing. What's really cool about that is in reading some of the history about this book, turns out there is actually the reason they crash is supposed to be a dogfight, but George Lucas asks Alan Dean Foster to take it out because he was worried that it would be too much of a budgetary constraint at the beginning of a film.
Wait, were they going to make this a movie?
Yes, so this is the sequel to Star Wars if Empire Strikes Back had been too expensive.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just a plot-wise sequel, but it wasn't
It was a low-budget... This was the low-budget sequel to Star Wars.
I got you. Okay.
And he was like... George Lucas was like, a dogfight in that movie? Well, remember that we're going to need to reuse props. We're going to need to reuse airplanes, models... Hey, bro. Was that your boy driving past?
No, do you hear that?
I just heard somebody driving past.
No, but he was, dude. All day.
He's been by all day?
Oh, no, we're talking about going to the end of the road and then just turning around and coming back and then going into the road. I was taking a nap between 3 and 5 because that's what depression does to you. And I took a nap and I woke up at 5 with... And I was putting my pants on to go out there and stand in the road. I couldn't until he stopped. But I couldn't fucking handle it anymore, man. Like it was just getting to the point where all I heard in my sinus cavity was vehicle, was motorcycle. Anyway. Yep. That was all I heard. I hated it so damn much.
So Luke and Leia are flying to this planet, and they're passing this other planet, and Leia blows like a converter or something in the Y-wing. She's like, I'm going to have to land. Luke says, don't land. Leia, don't land. Don't don't do it. She's like, there's some type of beacon from this planet, so we can land here. And he's like, there's nothing on the charts. This planet is not listed as having any inhabitants. Let's not land here. This is a bad idea. She's like, I'm a princess. We're going to do what I say. I'm landing here. We got to get to this conference. So they go to land. When they get into the planet's atmosphere, they get attacked by some sort of electrical field. Causes them to lose contact and both of their ships to just lose power. Luke, being a good pilot, is able to follow the plot course that Leia had laid out for him. So where he thinks her Y-wing is crashing, he brings his X-wing down. Crashes it. It's very reminiscent of, as I'm reading it, I'm reading Empire him Strikes. Crashing on,
me too.
On Dagobah.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder if this is what inspired that in a way, or if it was inspired. Like, did he have The Empire Strikes Back as a script by the time he wrote this, or was this beforehand? Like, so was he tossing ideas at them, or vice versa?
I think they took ideas from this.
Yeah,
I'd be willing to bet there's stuff having to do with probably. Well, this is just a bet because I don't know that much about it yet. That since we're talking about the Kyber crystal, I think we're probably going to get into some type of force hallucinations, like Luke in the cave.
Yeah,
where he fights Vader, and it turns out it's his own face in the mask.
He's already had a little bit of that already.
Yeah, they crash. Luke goes and searches for Leia. He finds her pretty much without any problem because he's really great at that. And
hey, I'm Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, hey, I'm Luke Skywalker. Hey, I found this princess. He finds the princess.
We're gonna get into it. Don't worry. I've got
some notes about that. Oh man, yeah. Luke gets the princess. He collects Leia.
You say princess, it sounds like a funny word. Actually,
princess.
He gets that princess.
She's in another. Your princess is in another Y-wing.
She pushes all that mud off of her.
Oh man, they fall in the mud a couple times in this.
And he always uses that phrase, that verb, push, when she's removing the mud. She pushes the mud off. Brush, maybe, or like wipe. But at least I highlighted at least four times that he said she pushes the mud off of her.
I'm really into this mud. I'm going to push this mud off of you.
Can you say that to people when they come into your house? Could you please remove your feet?
Welcome to my house. Push the mud off your shoes. Push the mud off. I've got a mud room. This is why I have a mud room. I'm really into pushing mud off.
Just push the mud off your shoes.
Hey, do me a favor. Go ahead and just take those shoes off so I can see those little toesies. Start pushing the mud off of those shoes.
is that another phrase for using the toilet is pushing the mud out? I feel like this is. I can't keep my hands away from my face. COVID-19. I can't keep my hands away from my face because of these glasses. Do you think that Alan Dean Foster is making humor?
Sorry, I didn't realize my phone was on.
Humor funny laughs at himself, and he's like, every time she talks about pushing mud out, it's like talking about poop. Princess Leia, you push that mud out.
I'm Alan Dean Foster. I'm really into poop, but we'll just call it pushing the mud out. He said, I'm in a poop stuff. I'm in a poop stuff. And I'm watching. Oh my God, push that mud out. Please push the mud out. I'm in a bad boy. Push the mud out for me.
That jumped out to me. I have all the other things that jumped out to me in this, the fact that she's constantly pushing the mud off. Is that like also another phrase for self pleasure? I'm gonna go push the mud off for a minute. Right, I'm gonna go push the mud off. I'll be right back.
I got told the other night. I don't know why, because my own laugh just reminded me. I got told by my fiance the other night that my laugh was really terrible.
Go push the mud off.
I get told
that too. My wife tells me that. She's like, your laugh sounds stupid. I'm like, shut up. I know. It's dumb.
Thanks for making me feel really self-conscious about my humor.
I was playing a game the other day, and I was laughing, and I was really enjoying myself in the process, right? Like, I was authentically laughing. She's like, your laugh sounds really dumb. I was like,
wow. Hey, why don't you go push the mud out?
Go push the mud off. Oh, you know what? Now that I say that later on, I'm going to have to go push the mud off later.
I already pushed the mud off today.
Do it about seven to nine.
I'll let you decide what that means.
7 to 9 times a day in quarantine, push the mud off.
After they push the mud off, they find a town and are like, hey.
Well, hey, princess. Before we go on this, you might want to go push that mud off.
So they break into a store and are like, hey. She's like, I'm a princess. I'm not going to steal anything. It's all right. I'm a Jedi farm boy. I'm not afraid of stealing stuff. So he steals some clothes for them. They go to a cantina because that's how any trouble in any good Star Wars starts.
You've completely left out the most important part of this. They don't just crash land and then steal clothes. There's a reason.
No, they fall because they go into a mining town.
Yeah, but why? Why do they have to steal clothes, Bob?
Because they look like everyone else.
Yeah,
because it's a town full of Imperials.
Duh, there you go. It's f***ing fucking Luke Skywalker, Bob. It's not like, it's not like
he's like, I'm Luke Skywalker. These Imperials are gonna get me.
They literally said, they're like, Luke, they're gonna notice you because Death Star. That was the thing that happened, and he's like, oh, yeah, Yavin.
So I should probably say, like, hey, we might be kind of known.
Right, we're inconspicuous. Sort of infamous. So let me just steal some of these mining clothes.
A princess and a boy with a laser sword? Wow.
And also, when she puts the... So they put the mining clothes on, and did you notice in there that he made a little dig at her weight?
I didn't notice the weight thing, but I did notice that he told her she was like, you look too much like a princess, gonna need to put some mud on you.
This is the second book you've read where a guy splatters like a bad fluid on a girl against her will.
Luke's got a thing about putting stuff on Leia, like
Luke's
covering
got a thing
her
about,
in dirt.
Luke's got, yeah, he does, and also hitting her.
Okay, man. We'll get into some of the hitting.
This is the second book we've read on this, the Quarantine Book Club, where we've had a man spread a foul fluid on a woman against her will, and then when she reacts poorly, he goes, "Well, fine, do it yourself then."
Yeah, I guess you want to get in trouble. Guess you want to get caught, don't you?
Guess you're gonna get caught. Guess you're gonna find out. You don't want to wear gross stuff, girl.
Don't. Girls are so stupid.
I feel like that needs to be. We need to read books about guys who put foul fluids on girls without their consent, and then get mad when they don't like it.
Man, that's just because that's porn that up, bro.
Just pushing the mud out. Pushing the mud off.
They get these clothes on. I'm stuttering now. They get these clothes on. They go to this cantina and meet this lady. Hela, is that her name?
Hela, yep.
Hela comes up to them. Old Hela, who's probably old Yoda, comes up to them.
Got the Force.
Hey, you got the Force?
Hey, I heard you got the Force.
Hey, I heard you got the Force.
You got the capital Force.
My name's Hela.
Hello?
Oh my God, look at my nose hairs. You can see right up there.
Hey, I'm Hela, and I heard you got the Force, boy.
Hey, dude.
You got the Force.
Hey, dude, you got the Force? So tell me, do you want to go look for a Kyber crystal? Because that's what I need you
to do. It's really convenient.
She finds him. We'll find out why it's so convenient soon enough. I'm sure there's going to be some twist about who she is, that she's not who she says she is. Do you think she's... Okay, predictions. Do you think that she's an embodiment of Darth Vader? That she's actually trying to get Luke to look for something?
I don't think she is. I think she might be put up to it by Darth Vader. I don't think she's an embodiment. I do, however, like the...
Because we don't know what the Force did at this point.
No, but we do know. Like, we know, right?
We know, but that's what I'm saying. This is the Wild West. It's the second ever official Star Wars story.
Right.
Dude's just making stuff up. He's Kyber crystals, cool.
I like reading it from the perspective they know now, and they go through they crash land on Mimban, right?
Yeah.
And they fall through this lightning storm. And Leia's like, it's so familiar. Like, lightning is so familiar, and I don't know why. And Luke is he's thinking in his head too, like, yeah, like I got an idea as to like what it might be, right? But she's also thinking just like, but that lightning thing is so familiar. And I just wanted to scream at the book. It's like, because it's Force lightning, you idiots.
But
like,
they hadn't encountered Force lightning yet at this point.
I know, but there's a way around it, right?
She's
familiar with it because Force sensitive, right?
Yeah.
That's why.
I think we're going to also get to that in this book. She's going to be Force sensitive in this book.
Somebody's down there going.
I think she's definitely going to be Force sensitive in the book.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's already present. Yeah.
So after they meet up with Hela, hey, I'm Hela cool. I'm Hela
old
awesome.
Hela.
Hey,
old
I'm a Hela old lady on this planet. I'm going to want you to find this crystal. Don't worry, it's a Kyber crystal. It's the thing that if you have it, the Force is super strong. You can do super strong Force things. It's definitely not a crystal that you put in your lightsaber or Death Star to make a laser beam. It's an actual thing
that
makes the Force
stronger.
Yeah, because
that's what it is canon now.
Yeah.
I also like that she tricks Luke Skywalker into going on the mission to find the Kyber crystal. She's so dumb.
Does she actually trick him, or she just kind of blackmails him and goes,
yeah.
Hey, guess what, nerd? If you don't go on this mission, I'm going to tell everybody that you're here. And then they get caught anyway.
They get into a fight, and he pulls out his lightsaber.
And he cuts a hand off.
And stabs a dude in the thigh.
Yes, stabs a dude in the thigh, cuts a dude's
he's
hand
really
off.
He's really violent with this lightsaber mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
And you know, because he's not good with it right now, that he's just like, like he's just swinging around like a child with a fork, right? He's not zhong, 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 zhong. He's like,
But they talk about it like he's really good. Like he's really good at fighting.
He's green saber Luke. He's non-canonical Luke.
He hasn't got that green yet. It's still blue, still my blue daddy saber.
Yep. It's just my dad's saber. I got it. What are the rules of lightsabers? Can we talk about that in a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Because
you mean where he snaps it, he turns it on and it goes through the guy's leg?
Nope. Okay. There's one point at which he snaps it on and Leia's like, because there's these weird parts where it shifts in the narration between, like, the thought narration between Leia and Luke. Mm-hmm. It's very third-person omniscient in that regard.
But it's no, but at least it's no
it's no first-person popping back and forth. And she's observing him pulling out the lightsaber, and specifically, it's also very phallic.
Oh, when he breaks into the place and he shortens the beam. He shortens the beam to, like, a torch. He turns it into a blowtorch.
Is that a thing that happens with lightsabers?
You can adjust the beam length. Yeah, okay. You can adjust the length of a beam.
Because she said she thought it was going to be a big white shaft, and instead it became a tiny little pin. Do you remember that?
I do remember. Oh my gosh, we've been doing this episode.
Page 46. Yeah. Only jungle sounds reached her, however, as Luke activated his saber. Instead of the meter-plus shaft of white energy, the pommel put forth a short, needle-thin spoke. With concentration worry of a master craftsman, Luke stepped forward and moved the energy beam along the slight space visible between door and frame. That's very sexual.
Also, did we forget somewhere in between the two movies that his lightsaber is blue, not green? I mean, not white?
Not white.
It's not a white saber, it's a lightsaber, okay?
What are your general feelings in this book, Bob, so far? Okay. They get captured by the miners and they get brought to Captain Supervisor Grammel. I keep saying Grammel or Gammel.
Yeah,
that's where we ended.
They do the Luke basically bows to him and he's like, "Dude, I'm so sorry. I screwed up. I'm a miner. Please don't kill us." And he's literally, at the very end of it, he says, "Get off my boots," Grammel ordered disgustedly. Because Luke's like
kissing his boots.
This guy's boots. But so,
which I guess he learned from the Greenies earlier in the book, right? When he's watching like watching the native alien race like grovel to the Imperial stormtroopers.
Yeah. So that's it. The book itself. I'm not hating it. I'm enjoying the process of reading the book. I don't think it's a bad book. I think I've actually written in here at some point where I feel like it is problematic, not because of but because of the time frame that it's written.
It was 1978.
Yes.
Right?
So back in the 80s, when like being a peeping Tom was still funny and not offensive,
or being a rapist,
yeah,
like the way he's about to be.
Well, that's the
Luke
thing.
Luke Skywalker is about to rape.
Where?
I'm gonna read it to you.
Okay. All right. Cool. That's good. But that's the thing is I don't remember that. So maybe I just completely missed it. Maybe
is it like,
maybe it's a Mancubus baby thing, or not a Mancubus. It's an Archvile baby thing. There's a lot of stuff that I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying the pointing out the differences in my own head and seeing it and saying, "Oh, hey, this is a thing that is different from Star Wars canon," and that's a neat little anachronism. That's fun knowing how things are now. Right off at the beginning of the book, we talk about a different way of describing what a Force ghost does. Luke starts talking about how Obi-Wan is the unseen presence occasionally seen to move arms and legs for him or supply suggestions and thoughts when his own mind was helplessly blank. I don't think Force ghosts ever actually jump in your body and move your arms and legs for you to do stuff for you. They're more like advisors.
I didn't take it. See, it's funny you say that. I didn't take that as that. I took it more or less as a matter of like him just being driven by an unseen presence that like it is the Force navigating his life for him. Like he has to accept that there's this other greater presence that's influencing his life right now.
Specifically talking about Obi-Wan's ghost.
Dizzy, because I didn't pay attention.
Yeah. There were times when Luke it's experienced an agreeable crawly sensation.
What page was that? That's very early. It's very early.
Okay. It's page two, where he's basically saying, hey, I miss Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I know that he's still around me because sometimes I hear his voice. And the fact that that Ben Kenobi had departed this plane of existence was unarguable. What no one could tell was what level of existence he had passed into.
Yeah.
Maybe death and maybe not. And then he immediately goes to talk about how, like, Luke's getting these weird creepy crawly feelings, how sometimes somebody moves, like, his arm for him. I think they're saying...
I didn't take that as so much, like, the direct influence of the Force Ghost as much as I did just sort of, like, an abstract understanding that there is something greater out there, that he's a cog in the wheel, and that Obi-Wan isn't necessarily navigating or directing him to go in a specific direction, but rather that he's just sort of overwatching him. And so in that case, maybe Luke feels a little more self-conscious about some of the decisions he has to make.
Maybe. I like what you're saying there, because it makes me feel a lot less creeped out than, like, Obi-Wan came in and pushed the dirt off.
He pushed the mud off. He's going to be here while I'm pushing mud off. And I'm pushing mud out. Obi, get out of here. I gotta take it number two. I gotta rock a deuce out. Come on, Obes.
Aren't you always afraid of that? As a human being,
yeah.
I don't believe in an afterlife. I don't believe in heaven and hell. Because there is no way that I want to think about my grandma or now my dead dad up looking at me, while I'm taking a dump.
But isn't that hell,
or rubbing one out?
Isn't that hell, though? The idea that when you pass on, there is no afterlife, but you're this disembodied presence that just floats, is forced to float around the people that you think you once loved and watch them at their worst, right? Like, my dad sees when I'm like a fat boy naked in bed and I'm half tired and I haven't brushed my teeth and I'm like, I just gotta really quick, you know, or I gotta poop. And my dad's like, he's forced to watch. Like, you ever been in the room with someone when they're pooping? And you're like, ew, I don't want to be here.
Why do people talk about their loved ones that are in heaven? They're like, oh, they're looking down on me. They're looking down on me. Are they constantly looking down on you? Are they looking down on what you get changed?
I sometimes wonder.
I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you.
Look at your node.
Down there.
I'm checking you out, node.
Checking you out while you're rubbing the mud off. While you're pushing the mud.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah. For
some reason in my head, ghosts always see through clothes.
Oh, so they always just see you naked anyway? Ghosts just see you naked.
I don't know why, okay?
Can a ghost see your... Do the ghosts have x-ray vision?
I don't know, but just to me, ghosts...
We should talk about this. We should talk... What is a ghost
I don't know.
You?
Ghosts
is
always
ghost
see you naked.
X-ray machine?
Ghosts always see you naked. Is that the title for this, or is Push the Mud Off the title?
Yeah, I think Push the Mud Off is
okay,
going to be
the
title.
Okay, but ghosts always see you naked, right? That's...
Does Obi-Wan looking at you nude?
He's checking you out nude.
I don't...
He's looking at you... I don't know, like, because I feel like they see the most vulnerable part of you, right? So,
the
this is nothing related to Star
Wars,
when I'm
fat and sweaty and running my second mile out of 4 miles for my daily run, and my stomach is bouncing everywhere, and there's sweat coming off me, and I'm stopping every 30 seconds to walk instead of run, and just going, yeah, I did it. I did a good job today.
I sometimes think about ghosts seeing you naked, dude.
Do they want to see you naked? No, ghosts are
not
checking you out naked.
That's hell right there, man. Like we're presuming that hell is this
Satan
grand
is
torturous place.
You.
But instead it's like, no, just go fucking hang out with these people you already hated in life and watch them do the worst stuff that humans do.
I always just thought hell was me being stuck in a room with this one dude that I hated from high school.
Oh.
And he would just talk to me constantly and tell me stories that I didn't want to hear.
That's hell. That's hell in body. That's hell on earth. Doom 2, Daffy Depew.
It would be being forced to read that book over and over and over again.
So I have a few comments about how I said it earlier, how real.
Did you like the introduction? Real quick, did you like the introduction by George Lucas?
I read about halfway through and I realized there was no reason to read the introduction.
It was bullshit. That introduction by George Lucas is full of bullshit. It's him. He's making things up. It's George Lucas saying, hey, this is how this book came to be, when it's not true. We all know that it's not true. George Lucas, you're a liar. We all know that you're a liar. That you're talking about how you had all of the Star Wars series planned out. But yes,
I began
somehow
to see as a tale, they could take at least 9 films to tell. Three trilogies. No, and I realized in making my way through the backstory and after story that I was really settling out to write the middle story.
Yeah, that's a lie.
So they hide, they're in the jungle of Mimban, right? And they're huddling together for warmth.
Right.
For one, how does my man, R2, A-R-T-O-O, how does he move so smoothly through the swamp?
I don't know, man.
They don't talk about it ever.
They don't. They don't. But he also has Magnalox, which we know he has.
Yeah, but like still, like you would think that maybe somewhere in this book.
How does he get through the forest of Dagobah?
I don't know.
He just has rockets. We found out that he has rockets.
Yeah,
actually,
that he lights oil on fire with, and he's real badass.
In the prequel trilogy, he flies around. He flies around with rockets. He doesn't do it in the original movies, but in the prequels, he's got rockets. Okay?
Princess Leia falls asleep. Right now, this is the third circumstance of the book where Luke. This is page. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is page 37.
Also having the book in your hand as opposed to a stupid.
Way better.
Page
37. I'm going to tell you right now. You know how you said you enjoyed reading this book?
Yeah.
I'm hating it.
Are you really?
Absolutely hating it.
Man, dude, I'm hating it. I'm enjoying it.
Okay, so here's the thing about it.
I'm enjoying being mad at times, too, but I'm still enjoying that process.
I think I'm having a hard time really separating myself from 2020 me, who is, while I'm not too deeply informed about Star Wars, I am informed about Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
Knowing what goes on with these characters, knowing where they come from. What I do think that ADF does really well is, and we had texted about this, embody the voice of these characters. I hear C-3PO speaking in my head. I hear Luke speaking in my head. And the young Luke from post A New Hope.
Do you think that's a case of Alan Dean Foster being able to create their voices on the page, or do you think that's because they're just driven into your brain so much? Not to be a dick.
Yeah.
But when we saw Force Awakens, and you hear Carrie Fisher talk for the first time in that movie, and she does not sound like Princess Leia. She sounds like an old woman who smoked cigarettes for the past 40 years
or
and did
a lot of
coke.
Crack. Yeah.
And it was off-putting because she didn't sound like Princess Leia.
Well, also,
she should, but I mean, not
Princess
that you know
Leia
an old
also
ladies.
Changed in her iteration of her accent too over the course of the first three movies.
Right, right.
She starts the very beginning with this almost English accent.
Like
because
trying, they were all trying to be like English accented, and then they went, "Oh,
the hell with that."
Hey, Harrison Ford was like, "Hey, kid.
Hey, kid, you want to roll
a joint?
Hey,
kid, can we just?" Don't worry about it and go hit the lunch truck. I don't even care about this movie. Nobody cares about this movie. We're not going to be doing any more of these after this.
I do think they do. So in the dialogue especially, I think Leia comes across as that overly self-sufficient, breaking the princess mold. But in doing so, she is a bit aggravating.
I see that she's more aggravating than she is in the other
movies.
She's
also way less capable so far
than she was even in
the first movie, which
thumbs
I don't
up,
like.
100% agree.
Yeah, less capable. Luke is constantly intervening on her behalf with this, again, white knight kind of thing where it's like, I'm going to save the princess. And he is – and that also – but again, in comparison to Doom, these are at least characters that have some depth to them. So is that Luke being an overly protective idiot farm boy of like 18 thinking this is how he's going to get some tang?
Maybe. I think he's also – he's trying to be a more of a hotshot than he's capable of. He thinks in his head that he's Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi, but actually he's Luke Skywalker just after A New Hope and wants to be Link from the Legend of Zelda cartoon where he's like, well, excuse
me, princess.
That's what I get out of him the whole, like, so far. It's just, he's like, I'm gonna tell this princess what's up. Because when I can, I'm going to get my licks in.
Scratch my ear. It's almost like he's learned a bit from Han Solo how to be an asshole, but he doesn't know how to use it the right way. And also, it's almost like
girls like boys who are real jerks to them.
Girls are also stinky, and they're going to be covered in mud. Anyway, you got to slap them around a little bit.
Don't worry, just push the mud off them.
And then R2 is adorable as he is, and also resourceful and doesn't talk. But then C-3PO has his – I love – there's a part that I did admittedly laugh out loud where C-3PO discovers the metal wall on the outskirts of the mining town on page 40. And he says, "Your pardon, sir, but this isn't a tree. I'm pressing against," the droid said. "It's metal. I thought the matter worthy enough to bring to your notice. There is a possibility." A loud beep cut him off, and he glared down at R2. "Talk too much? What do you mean I talk too much, you factory second?" Like, I did laugh because it's so perfect. It's so perfect, C-3PO. And of all the characters that he wrote in this, like, I hear C-3PO in my head, that exasperation, and I see that, like, jerking in his body. It's so – that is so well written.
There's also 3PO, man, like – not to, we're talking about this book, but it's actually a thing that I've been, because they've recently released the final Star Wars on Disney Plus recently. What the heck is that movie called? Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
3PO gets a real short end of the stick through that whole movie.
Those people shit on him, man.
They treat him like crap.
They treat him like crap.
They not only treat him like crap, they're like, "Hey, the only way we can get this information is if we erase your memory. Guess what, droid? You're not worth shit. We're going to erase your memory. We're going to treat you like garbage. You're not a real person."
Yeah, they're really bad to him.
Yeah, they're really bad to him. And what does he do? He turns around and looks at them like right before they wipe his memory. And he's like,
I'm taking a look
at my friends for the last time.
And then the minute he says that, I think it's Poe who's like, "All right, whatever, peace."
Yeah.
Like, it just rolls,
and then,
right?
And then he's getting ready. They're getting ready to dig into his head and shut him down. And he goes, "Hey, I think I have another idea how we might be able to figure a way around this." And they just shut him off. They're just like, "See you later, nerd." Also, they find this little droid who has clearly been abused by its previous owner. And they're like, "Don't worry, you're with us now." Immediately after they have just told C-3PO to shut the hell up.
I never thought about that. They've actively been abusing a droid.
Yeah, and they're like, "Don't worry, you're with us now.
You're safe, because you know why? Because you're cute."
Yeah.
It's the same CGPO, reason why you're like, annoying. You save a bunny, but you run over that opossum, right? Like, that's...
Bro.
One doesn't seem cute.
Talking about cute droids, Jedi Fallen Order. I thought BB-1 was my favorite droid. No, I need me a BB-8. I need me a BD-1. Just go look up a little video of BD-1 from Jedi Fallen Order.
I will.
He's a little droid about this tall. He rides on Cal's back the whole game.
Oh, it's so cool.
And
I want him.
Cute, doing blips. He's got little feet. I love him. I want to give him droid kisses.
You know what I don't like, speaking of kisses? Is pedophile near-rapist Luke.
Okay, so tell me about this, because I'm not sure where...
She falls asleep.
I've got some...
Page
37, because I know there's some, like,
she falls
asleep.
"Hey,
I'm looking at you nude" type stuff. But...
She falls asleep. I'm going to read it to you. Very, very last paragraph.
Oh,
next
is it the kissing part?
Then he happened to glance down at his companion's face. It was not the face of a princess and a senator or of a leader of the Rebel Alliance, but instead that of a chilled child. Moistly parted in sleep, her lips seemed to beckon to him. He leaned closer, seeking refuge from the damp green and brown of the swamp and that hypnotic redness. He hesitated and pulled back. She was an aristocrat and a rebel leader. For all he'd accomplished above Yavin, he was still only a pilot, and before that a farmer's nephew. "Peasant and princess," he mused disgustedly. His assignment was to protect her. He wouldn't abuse that trust, no matter his own hopeless hopes. Like, okay, like...
I mean, I don't think he's pushing himself on her. I'm not defending the behavior.
Yeah, right.
I think... In the context of what this book is in 1979 when it was published, as disgusting as it is, it was acceptable to like kiss a woman and be like, "I'm making a move. I'm gonna kiss you."
She's asleep though.
Yeah,
I know, she's asleep.
Dude, how many dudes during that time period? I'm not defending the action.
I'm defending the
time frame that the book was written in. I think that gross, weird rape culture of that time period is like it was less considered socially more acceptable. It's not. It's gross. Don't kiss people that don't give you permission. Ask for permission. Consent is sexy.
Then it's the weird part. It's like, she looked like a chilled child. I just want to find my way into those lips.
Luke is also a child, though. Remember that we're like, talking about two teenagers.
I know.
Like, I'm not, I'm, again, not right. defending, like, I'm defending the fact that in the scripts for Star Wars, Luke is, like, 16. 16? Yeah, yeah, he's like 15 or 16. And she's at the most, like, 18.
It's still, it's, it just skeeves me, man, because he's constantly also it's in this making passes. He's like, leaning against the princess, and she's superwoman. I especially know their brother and sister. I'm like, ew, mm-hmm. dude.
Well, they're
like,
pushing each other down in the mud.
Yeah,
they're wrestling. they're wrestling, having fun. And then
take your clothes off.
Don't worry about it. Your local minor rapists are going to come up and try to attack you.
Yeah, they're constantly. They're constantly like object. There is constant statements about like the miners. Mm-hmm. Like, check out this hot piece of sliz. Let's check out this ass.
In any type of entertainment. I don't like it's cheap to have a to just be like, oh, what's the danger situation that this woman is in sexual danger?
Yeah,
I'm so tired of that as being a thing, because you know what, that's the disgustingness of our real world. I don't want that in my entertainment too. Can't we just be like, oh, she's gonna get zapped by a robot? It's Star Wars, man. Dude, I don't need you to be like, yo, I'm gonna kiss you in your naughty places. I'm gonna push that mud off.
Constant. And it is everywhere in the first 100 pages of this book. Everywhere.
Is, and that's and, I'm worried about it in the rest of the book because I don't want to deal with that.
It bothered me a bit because
you're turning my page on this book. You're making me go from like being like, I kind of enjoyed it to being like, yo, this is gross, rapey
and then,
stuff.
Then the part where so they're in the they're going into and that's the third time that something like that comes up, page 37. That's number three. I was like, the first time I was like, I'm not going to mention it, right? Second time I was like, getting a little weird. And then chilled child lips, and he's like, I got to find myself into them red pillows. Oh, no, you got to save her from you. And I'm like, ew, dude, like Luke may be a kid, but in the first movie, he still does grow away from power converters in Tashi Station, and he's almost too innocent for this Luke, if that makes sense. Like, this doesn't seem like a thought that Luke would have. I feel like Luke Skywalker in particular would be far more, especially where we're at in the series with, you know, right after New Hope, that this is his friend.
Yeah.
And the princess. And sure, he might go, oh, okay, you know, girl, you know what? No, idiot. Do your thing. Like you got to protect a friend. And then even at one point, they mention that he is feeling unrequited love. It's like page 40. And that just is so on the nose.
And there's
– it's clumsy.
There's a section – I'm going to ask you a question here in a minute. It's an important question that every – you got to know about every Star Wars person. And it's – I think that it's probably like a 30-70 split. Who's more interesting to you? Who's better? Like, who's your more favorite character, Han Solo or Luke Skywalker?
It depends upon the lens. So I love Han Solo, right? I love Han Solo, and I love Han Solo from Han shot first. And here's why: because when Han shoots first, then I know that if he is a main character, appropriately speaking, what I'm going to see is a narrative change and a shift in who he is, especially knowing where he goes to into the new series. I love the growth of him being this badass, care-nothing smuggler to being a father who truly cares and loves his son and his friends and even his estranged wife. Way more than he's ever able to put into words. Like, I don't know if I'm a Han, you know how there's always that argument, like, where it's like, are you a Han Solo guy or Luke Skywalker guy?
Right.
Like, I love them together. I like Han Solo being a badass, but I like Luke being the balance of the innocence in that and then growing into the more honorable badass that he was and his growth being an inspiration for Han Solo's growth.
Yeah, well, and looking at that and going, that's the reason why a lot of us don't like the middle movie in the new trilogy, because it took Luke Skywalker and took all of those things that were important to his development as a character and reversed his character arc.
Yeah.
Everything that he learned about trusting in someone and like that he loves and letting the good in them come forth. Instead, they take it and go, oh, well, no, he's just going to attack this little boy in his sleep.
It was the hero's journey sort of scribbled out, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Like everything he'd done, everything he'd learned wasn't mm-hmm. like he, yeah, you can have a moment of weakness. That's what Star Wars is all about, is that redemption. But you can't take, I don't think you can take a character like Luke Skywalker and go, yeah, he went from knowing all of this to becoming the dumbest, least wise human being that would ever live.
And he isn't very wise either. He's certainly, I would venture to say that Han Solo, if we look at both of them as adults, right, and mm-hmm. and the presence that they have in the influence of those final three movies, that Han Solo is even though he's just a memory at points, he's a far better Force ghost than Luke ever is. Like, he comes back to Ben Solo and, like, influences him. Right now, Adam Driver, like, his back must be hurting because he's carrying all three of those movies on. Yeah. Right?
And he's the most interesting thing.
He is. He's great. They did such a good job at making him still such an interesting character.
It's so angering that, oh my God, we're going into new Star Wars and crap, and we got to stop. Because I just, the thing is, I find the cast of characters from the new Star Wars movies to be a wonderful, amazing group of characters that they just sort of pooped on.
They're deeply compelling when allowed mm-hmm. to be compelling.
Right, and otherwise, and when you abuse that, it doesn't work. But going back to what I was saying here about Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, the reason I'm saying that is because I'm a Luke Skywalker guy.
From
the time I can remember, Luke Skywalker was my hero as a kid. I didn't care about Han Solo. Why? Because Luke Skywalker was the knight. He was the knight in shining armor.
Right,
He's no white knight, don't get me wrong. He was a Meladian and vaping it at people, you know, putting on his fedora. He was being an actual knight. And so for Luke Skywalker to be this guy who, like, it made sense to me that by the time he got to the third movie, not only was Leia, like, his sister, before he even realized that, he kind of wouldn't even have cared at that point.
No.
He would have been like, whatever, I have a job to do. And in this, making him like this kind of weird, gross, like having too many of those thoughts. It's off balance for what that character is. He's a good guy. In base terms, I like Luke Skywalker because
he's an innocent, pure kid who turned into
a badass.
Right.
But a badass, he's Superman in the Star Wars series.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Superman, do you ever see Superman? Wait, I was going to say, do you ever see Superman get all weird?
My glasses on and off right now because, like,
Superman tries to do that to Lois Lane in the first movie, and then he's like, there's lead in your underwear.
Why is there lead in her underwear?
Because he can't see through lead. I'm probably remembering it horribly wrong.
Is he a
ghost?
But
I remember there being this joke. No, it's Superman Vision.
Yeah, but is Superman a ghost?
Yeah, he's a ghost.
Because he can't see through clothes. Okay,
ghosts can't see through clothes.
The other thing that I really didn't care for was their goofy, constant slapstickness in this. Mm-hmm. Like, so they sneak into the town and they're like dressed like miners, and Luke's like, ooh, you gotta like get all more muddy, right? And then when he's gotta push that mud on you, then when they almost get found out, he's like, I got a brilliant idea. And he just reaches out and slaps Leia across the face. Yeah, and he's like, shut up, servant.
Yeah, I mean, that's because they're like, people are getting suspicious of them. So he's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to slap this girl. That's clearly what people do when they're trying to prove that they're part of the Empire.
I feel like if this was a legitimate Star Wars story, that you would have seen the thought show up on his face. Right, he would have been like, and she would have just given him that look that's like, you bastard, I'm still a princess, and I'm also your friend. You don't do that to me. You don't slap me. Like, yeah. We don't go down this route. We figure it out together.
And I was going to say that weird sexual situations have no place in Star Wars, except for the fact that all these dumb fat nerds who can't handle the fact that we've got people that don't dig the fact that Princess Leia is in a metal bikini in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And that they've kind of, Disney's kind of downplayed that.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that in any media except the actual movie itself. Like, dude, get over it. It's kind of gross that she's, they refer to her as Slave Leia.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
she's in this metal bikini, which is really just clearly objectifying her. Like, Jabba the Hutt is the scum and villainy that you talk about in Mos Eisley. And so, yes, he's got women in, you know, he's basically, he runs a strip club for him, private strip club. Like, that's what Jabba's palace is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's gross. But that's the whole thing, is that we show up and we go, oh, we as a group of characters are above this. Excuse me. And let's not, you know, let's make these guys pay for their debauchery. It's sort of a moral tale.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. Like, look, dress in metal bikinis if you want. That's cool. If you like it, if you're into it, whatever. I mean, women, men, whoever wants to dress in a metal bikini, go for it. I'm going to go upstairs and put my metal bikini on right now.
Do it, and then push the mud off.
I don't even know where I'm going with this.
I don't
just
either.
Except for the fact that, like, that's the only, I think, moment of really overt sexuality in all of the original Star Wars series.
Yeah, yeah.
And this book is like, yo, we got horny teenage hard-ons. It's like
everywhere.
It's like Star Wars Porky's edition. And that, because that garbage is gross.
I also don't like his, I think he is a fantastic writer, but that forgets the power of his own vocabulary at times. There's so much okay. vocabulary in this that it yeah. is, especially if you're directing this, maybe, as I would think, towards like a teenage to a late teenage audience that is way above the head of anyone reading this. You know, a miasma.
Yeah.
You doing something with alacrity. There was another word in here that I didn't even look up, and maybe I should have, that I highlight. Something sounding like a broken pipe gurgled stentorian. Something sounding like a broken pipe gurgled stentorianly in the darkness, and 3PO started. Stentorianly?
What's even worse than that is I read that, and I went, in my head I went, I know what that means, but in reality, I don't know what that means. I feel like I do.
Adverb that he doesn't want to use. There was a page that every sentence started with an adverb. And I'm like, dude, just cut out the L-Y. It's like good writing relies on finding the word that replaces that adverb, because you don't quietly walk, you skulk. You don't loudly speak, you shout. Like, there's always a better word to provide in placement of adverb verb. And it's like no one said that to ADF. They were like, no, in fact, any L-Y word, you need just pat that shit in there.
Look, I'll take Al Dean's overuse of adjectives and adverbs.
Yeah.
Way over having to think about sour lemon smells.
Way.
I think that's part of it, is I was enjoying how much more adult reading this book
yes.
felt.
And that it clearly has a seating in an interest in science fiction as space opera, as opposed to science fiction wanting to like try to be science fiction but just can't get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where I'm saying that it's in that manner, it's not a bad book. Maybe it's because I'm comparing it so much to the previous books that we've read.
Yeah.
That I feel like I'm spoiled. And I'm not really. I'm actually there's a lot to have problems with in this book. But it's just so much smoother reading
than the Dune books. It is a quick, easy read that almost lies to you and makes you feel smarter than maybe you should be reading a Star Wars book.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, if you look past that, you realize just how much of a weirdo and creeper you are.
I'm going to read this for you right here.
Please do.
I'm going to hate it. I think this was a thing that I made a note about. This was a little more harsh as far as Star Wars. I don't know why I got really close. Oh, I got really close up here because I was going
to
talk like
get
this.
Close to me.
But I'm not. There's page 86.
Yes.
And this is when they've been captured and Leia can't stop mouthing off to people. that's a problem with her, is that she's so strong-willed, and we're trying to impress upon the reader how strong-willed she is, that she's making stupid mistakes, and mm-hmm. Leia's not stupid.
Right,
Leia
right.
is not so stupid that she'll... If it was just her, she'd let her pride get in the way, but because it's her and Luke, I feel like she's not a selfish leader.
No, never,
she,
never.
That's one of the strengths of the characters, that she's proved over and over again that she's very selfless and that she cares more about the people that are underneath her command than she does about herself.
Correct, correct.
So this conversation, how would you like to bury yourself under 4 feet of mud for about an hour? The princess snapped. I wouldn't, admitted the sergeant calmly. How would you like your pretty tongue burn out with a low power blaster? Like, wow, man, you're threatening to pull this girl's tongue out, shoot it off?
Just gonna burn it off with a low power blaster.
For some reason, when I read it, I was like, this is really harsh.
Yeah.
This is like way more harsh than Star Wars should be, even though there's limbs being fried off.
And then
in
they
Star
go
Wars
into
constantly.
They go into this long conceit of when they're taken in by the current antagonist.
Captain Supervisor Grammel,
right? He's the supervisor of the mining colony that's like trying to supposedly find the Kyber crystal. That like this whole servant relationship between Leia and Luke mm-hmm. is going on like just way too long and way too like, I don't know. It just feels so inauthentic to any mm-hmm. of the characters. Like, yeah, she's my servant. Sit down, servant. And she's like, oh. And he's like, yeah, you're just some girl and you're some servant. You know, I use her for whatever I want to.
It's servant. Like the, it's like the couple you know who they've gone out to have a few drinks with all the couples that you know. And he's had a few too many drinks and he just keeps making fun because she wore like a shirt that didn't match her pants.
Yeah.
And so he keeps giving everybody, he's like, oh man, yeah, my wife, she wore blue and
purple. Pink.
I don't know what, yeah, she wore blue and pink. I don't know what would match with each other. And he keeps doing it to the point where she's clearly upset and he just doesn't get that she's upset. And all your friends are looking at him going, bro, stop, man. You're in trouble. You're going to get in trouble when you get home. Your wife's really mad at you. You're hurting her feelings. And he's just like,
he's like, I don't care.
God, you look so dumb
she's
in that blue
and
pink.
She's got a zit on her face. She's got zits on her face. And also, I can't tell you who I am, but if any of you put a hand on me, you'll answer for it.
What's the point of that line?
Barrel chest moved closer. There was no humor in his voice, and he did not smile at her. Little mudhen, I'll put more than a hand on you. And I'm like, ew. But my favorite thing from the book is page 76.
76.
So yep. So
I like being able to follow along with the book.
We should start wrap this stuff up fairly soon.
Yes. Yes. Very soon.
But I felt my own voice come out in this human being.
Is it 3/4 of the way down the page?
It is. There is that. There is. That part, yes, that's another weird sex part, but this one is actually up three paragraphs where they refer to the boys, the miners, as bulk boys.
And yo, I look out for those bulk boys.
Just check out those bulk boys.
I'm gonna come. Hey, guess what? Welcome to the world of our world. What is the world called, Prince? What's this planet called?
Mimban?
Welcome to Mimban. We got bulk boys.
We got nothing but sex girls and bulk boys. You gotta be a Mimban. You gotta take your bulk. You gotta take a bulk protein shake, and you're gonna be a bulk boy when you're done.
There's another thing further down on this page that bugs the crap out of me. It's an anachronism that bugs the crap out of me.
It blew my brain up when I saw it. And I was so angry.
This barrel chest boy.
Murmured
a barrel-chested individual with a Manchu mustache. That's not a thing in space.
It's a Manchu mustache.
You can't have a Manchu. You can't have a Manchu mustache in space. They don't know what that is. You can have wasn't a even born at this point.
You can have a stringy mustache. That's fine. Like a mustache that looks like a horse tail, right? Like, let's think of other descriptors other than a Manchu. That's the laziest description. And this is not a lazy author. Like, this guy's crushing it. A long-tailed
mustache.
Right.
His mustaches were long.
A mustache that was more a series of strands than a bush.
Yeah, don't. First of all, nobody likes. I don't like that we call it a Manchu mustache.
No, I hate it. It's gross. In its own regard.
Racist. It's racist.
Oddly racist.
Yeah. So let's not. Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
I never want to do that ever again. No. I was trying to make a Manchu mustache.
Riz is trying to make a Manchu mustache, and what he did was basically the upside down equivalent of the symbol that you do when you're suggesting that you're giving oral pleasure to a lady.
Well, wow, fitting with this book.
Oh. Leia became aware of the minor stares. Several buckles and straps on the tight-fitting clothes had come undone while she'd been wrestling with Luke. Despite the coating of mud over them, their exposed areas were drawing an uncomfortable amount of attention. She felt as if something was crawling all over her under her clothing. Did she just end up naked while they were, like, wrestling in the mud?
Earlier on, Luke did accidentally sort of, like, describe her as a little too big for the clothes she was wearing.
Yeah, because you said that.
I wish we could. I wish we could. But it was like, it wasn't even that he was like, oh, Princess Leia is too bulky for those clothes.
He's a bulky boy.
He's just a bulk boy. It was just bad and completely tone deaf narration where it's like, that's not a flattering, that's not a compliment. Let's see. Oh, I like the phrase that is said to her. Luke, by the way, for somebody who's very quick to jump in and be like, Leia's my servant, and I'm going to talk about how she doesn't get any favors until after I eat. He's very quick to also be disgusted by people being treated poorly around him. I think I'm going to be sick, Luke whispered.
This little green boy.
And then she says, we have our devils and our angels, Luke. You have to be ready to handle both. I'm like, that's such a bad line. Why'd you write that? I'm trying to find that stupid thing. Did you know that she put her hands on seal curve hips?
That cocked was her one, head to once. What does that mean? What is seal curve lips? I have that circle
hips,
in here somewhere.
Hips, not lips. Hips.
That's what I said.
Hips.
That's what I said. Seal curve hips, didn't I?
You said lips.
Oh my God! Maybe because we're thinking about her red lip, her child lips, her cold child lips. Got a chill child lips that I'm gonna push the mud off of.
I gotta find this. I'm trying to. But you keep talking while I find this. Here we go. Shortly, Luke was able to turn and study her approvingly. This is 48. Her simple, worn suit was a bit snug, but otherwise looked quite natural on her. No person is complimented by those clothes look snug and you're looking natural today. Like, I wake up in the morning, my shit looks natural, right? If I say to my wife, you're looking very natural, she's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. Are you stupid? Why would you tell me that, idiot?
It's very snug. It's a bit snug on you.
I did find the line about seal curve hips. Yeah. She put hands on seal curve hips, cocked her head to one side, and stared meaningful at him.
What's a seal curve hip?
I don't know. That's exactly it. Like, I would not describe any woman having seal curve hips as a thing that I would want someone to go, oh, I find that attractive.
Let me remind
me of a creature that lives in the Arctic and has all this blubber on its body to keep it warm in the winter.
Hey Siri, what's seal curved hips? Nothing. How to do the seal in Pilates.
Alexa, what are seal curved hips?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, nobody does. Thanks.
Yeah, ADF clearly doesn't know. Jeez. Well, man, I am. I'm starting to think that we're hitting the end of our limit here today. What do you think?
I agree. We talked about a lot of stuff. The book itself,
it's not bad. right now we left them being – they are held captive while they're trying to find the Kyber crystal. They're held captive by Captain Supervisor Grammel, and we presume that from this point forward we're going to see them trying to escape him and then going after like sort of like a heist chase after the Kyber crystal. They're probably going to go after it, and he is, of course, going to be hot on their tail, right?
Yes. For next week, we should read through page –
208, 209.
Finish 209. That is, yes. Also, chapters in this are a lot longer.
They're really long. I was actually looking at one before. That's the only logical place to stop unless we stop in the middle of a chapter, because I think chapter nine is like 40 pages long.
It ends with an ellipsis, which means that it'll be great for like a cliffhanger.
Yeah, cliffhanger.
Because we know that the second installment of Star Wars should always be a cliffhanger.
Heck yeah.
If you want to do it. The way people love it.
Quick predictions. Give me one hot prediction for the future for this book. Let's see if it goes right or wrong.
I'm gonna say that we're gonna have a force hallucination like the cave in Dagobah. I think that's mine. And I think it might be related to them finding the crystal.
Yeah.
Like where the cave that the crystal's hidden or something like that. But I think we're definitely gonna have a cave and we're gonna have a hallucination.
So they talk in this. I like that. So you're saying hallucination. Is that for this reading or just for the book
in
overall?
For the book in general, I'm hoping that we get it through. I think it's too much to be later in the book.
Yeah. Because
I think we need to find the crystal, or at least be in the presence of the crystal enough that it gives us some type of idea of the scale of danger that we're going to be facing. Like right now, Luke has found a shard of it, and he knows that it's
basically a focus, like a magnifier, an amplifier for the force, right? So so the danger behind the Kyber crystal, if I recall, is that if one possesses the Kyber crystal, they can use the force to a greater extent, but it also more or less functions as a beacon to the whole universe.
Yeah.
Possibly so,
he's
right?
Already, now that he's already got his – that's how she tricks him.
Yeah.
That's how she tricks him into doing it. She hands him a little shard of the crystal, and she's like, check this out. You'll see what I mean. And he does, and he's like, whoa, I'm really attuned with the force when I have this thing. And she goes, hey, guess what? Now every force user within a million quadrillion parsecs is gonna know that you touch this thing.
My prediction is that this crystal, this Kyber crystal, is so powerful, you can't keep this object in the universe. It's going to be destroyed by the end of it.
Okay.
It's going to be destroyed. I would even venture to say, however, either destroyed – and this is taking my prediction way too far, I think – either destroyed or shattered, and shattered in such a way that it's no longer viable as a force magnifier, but maybe its crystals are ended up being used for something else in the future.
It would have, if we had gone on to a third book in this series, if this is how Star Wars had gone instead of Empire Strikes Back, I could have seen this crystal being destroyed, and then the third Star Wars movie being about a race across the universe to try to collect all of the pieces of the crystals so that you could have the most power.
Here's what I would like us to do.
Yes.
Between now and we're done with this. So we're going to finish this book in two more episodes.
Yes.
I would like to have a culmination episode.
All right.
That is us creating the third story.
Okay. Based off of Star Wars universe.
A New Hope and this Star Wars universe.
In our world, we have Star Wars Part 6.
We're going to have
Star Wars Part 6.
Yes.
We're
going to have
Star Wars Part 5.
Star Wars A New Hope.
Star Wars Splinter of the Mind's, Eye.
And then we're going to have to find out. We're going to have to make the third and bring it to a close.
That sounds great.
Cool.
I love it.
Cool.
Awesome, man.
And I hope Slave One shows up.
Wow, pulling in some really hot, deep cuts.
We might come back to that one later on. All right, bro. So you want to do your sign-off thing here?
Yes. Oh, man. Hey, thanks. Thanks, buddy.
Let me see if I can do it from my brain. You ready?
Okay, cool.
Let me see if I can do it from my brain. So we are brothers. Wait, no. We are
Quarantine Brothers
Book Club.
Great
you can
job.
Find us anywhere that you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts. You can hear us on Audio Boom. You can also find us on YouTube, right?
Yes.
So you can watch these visual along with the audio. You've been doing a friggin' killer job editing those, by the way. I know the amount of time you have spent in doing this. I'm going to encourage you as I love you so much. Put only minimal time into this because only minimal people are listening to it. So you can hear us Audio Boom, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. You can also check us out at www.thequarantinebookclub.com.
Yes,
the,
and that is with us.
Is very important, right?
Yes.
Thequarantinebookclub.com. That's about where I stopped. That's about where my brain shut down.
If you are watching us on YouTube,
make sure you go bing bing, hit that bell.
You can hit us up on Facebook at The Quarantine Book Club and on Instagram at The Quarantine Book Club Podcast.
And then hit that like, hit that subscribe.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Give me a hot like. I'm gonna send out a reward, a kiss for the future for a real subscriber.
Okay, cool. I can't wait to see that kiss happen. 100, maybe even a special 100 kiss episode.
Love that.
We get 100 subscribers, we'll
get 100 kisses.
Give them kisses.
Just an episode kisses. Of just 100 kisses.
I know there was something else I wanted to talk about. Oh yeah, if you'd like to send us an email, you can do so through the Facebook DMs on Instagram or at the website itself. We've got a contact section now, so you can just
great.
Check us out there. I've also added some YouTube links on the website now. So if you go to thequarantinebookclub.com, you can basically get linked to all of our different media there.
Fantastic. Also, at some point, I don't know whether it's going to be this next week, the week after that, at some point, I think we might be trying to have a special guest on.
Yeah, yes.
So we're gonna talk about that as it comes closer. It may or may not happen, but who knows? Somebody else has been reading this with us, and sort of fits the theme of family members who came out of the same vagina.
Nice.
Being on a podcast.
Definitely kisses. I mean, I don't. Not or did we come out of the same members?
Did we come out of the same penis?
They've maybe kissed someone.
Did we
some point.
Come out of the same penis or vagina?
Yeah, you know it.
I'm gonna push the mud out thinking of it.
Hey, everybody, I'm gonna miss you. Until next time, remember to look at my jacked up teeth, and I'll love you. I want you to think about being a hippie punk snot.
Belladonna. That's right, man. Put your hands on your seal curved hips and just roll into the next 200 pages. This is amazing beauty of a book.
I'll see you next time after you push the mud off.
Love you. Love you.
Princess Lady's gonna push that mud out. Princess Lady's gonna push that mud out.
She pushes all that mud off of her.
Oh, man. They fall in the mud a couple times in this.
Princess Lady's gonna push that mud out.
Hey, my name is Bob. Welcome to my house. Take your shoes off. Push the mud off. I've got a mud room. This is why I have a mud room. I'm really into pushing mud off of people.
Say, talk about poop.
I highlighted at least 4 times that he said she pushes the mud off of her.
I'm really into this mud. I'm going to push this mud off of you. Can you please push this mud off of me?
Could you please remove your feet and push the mud off your shoes?
Princess Lady's going to push that mud out.
She pushes all that mud off of her.
Oh, man, they fall in the mud a couple times in this.
Hey, do me a favor. Go ahead and take those shoes off so I can see those little toesies. Just start pushing the mud off of those shoes.
Oh, man, they fall in the mud a couple times in this.
Princess Lady's gonna push that mud out.
She pushes all that mud off of her.
Princess Lady's gonna push that mud out.
She pushes all that mud off of her.
Oh, man, they fall in the mud a couple times in this.
Using the toilet is pushing the mud out. Push.
It pushed.
Pushes the mud off.
Pushes the mud off herself.
Push.
Oh, man, they fall in the mud a couple times in this.
Just push the mud off your shoes.
Is that another phrase?
Every time she talks about pushing mud out.
I'm in a poop stop.
Princess Lady's gonna push that mud out. Princess Lady's gonna push that mud out.
I'm not a new buster. I'm really into poop, but we'll just call it pushing the mud out. I'm gonna poop stuff and I'll watch it. Oh my god, push that mud out. Please push the mud out. I've been a bad boy. Push the mud out for me.